Praise the Lord and shame on the devil. I like this pulpit. I mean, you can just put anything over here and over there. Organization, amen. I like it. Yeah, if you don't like it, that's okay. You go back to your church and use your rinky-dink pulpit. I mean, just whatever. It's exciting to me how, and I told Brother Burden this, and my pastor, Jeffrey, he is my brother, but he is my pastor. So if you're going to talk trash about a pastor, pick a different one. Leave mine alone. Amen. Nobody's done that here, but you better not. Amen. Okay. And no, we love to pick on each other, but there's something about the Word of God, something about a man of God, and there's a respect, and I don't want any. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about other pastors like your pastor. And it amazes me how God can work on the different hearts of different preachers. It be the same theme, and they find stewardship in some of the craziest places. My pastor found it somewhere in Genesis in Egypt yesterday. Pastor Burden finds it in the book of Esther. And I'm like, this is phenomenal. What am I up here for? Well, I'm up here to preach to you out of the book of Acts. Amen. And so if you find that, Acts, I'm going to change glasses so I can see what we're looking at. Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. He is standing now before King Agrippa, and he's telling him how that God told him to do these things. He said, you know, and I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Okay? Some of us could park right there, and you got to follow the book. You're not going to get God showing up like Paul did. Okay? Quit looking for God to talk to you outside of this book. Okay, because he's not going to. You know, if someone else seen an angel, you know what happens? A different denomination that's totally off the Bible. A 900-foot Jesus or whatever. Jesus talks to you through the book. And Paul is there talking to Agrippa, and he tells him, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. But the verse I want you to catch is in 22. And the Bible says, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both the small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should shew light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Heavenly Father, help me preach. Rather, Lord, that you would preach through me. Father, I pray that you would please give me the right words to say, and Lord, put in words that which you've laid on my heart, so these my friends and my family and those that you've brought here, Lord, could go changed, not because of who's preaching, but because of you. Heavenly Father, help me now. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Acts is my absolute favorite book. It's okay. I love the whole Bible, but I love the book of Acts because Paul is a wonderful follower, disciple, apostle of Jesus Christ. He has some of the same struggles we do. He has some of the same problems we do. We can look at ministry and go, oh, you know, I just got chewed out in my office, but thank God I didn't have to get up with all the rocks on top of me. At least thrice I wasn't beaten with rods. Might have been when I was a kid, but that's something different, okay? And I look at Paul, somebody said, oh man, you're back in the ministry? Well, I never stopped. Well, you had a stroke. No, I know that. Brother Brad jammed something into his leg a couple of years ago. He's still using his leg, isn't he? Stop looking at us. We're just men. We put our shoes on the same way you do. We put our suit on the same way you do. Hey, we're just conduits from which God flows His mercy and His grace and His calling. Amen. Amen. Y'all are easy to preach to. I better watch my clock. Amen. Having therefore obtained help of God, I stopped right there. You know why? Because you and I wouldn't even be alive if you didn't obtain help of God. Well, I'm not in ministry. It's still God's oxygen. Well, I'm not in ministry. Stop saying that. Stop thinking that way. Because if we look, the Bible said, having therefore obtained this ministry. Well, what ministry was that? It was the ministry of leading people to the Lord.
Yeah, that's right.
And the last I checked, the local church, which is made up of saved, baptized individuals, amen. That's the job of the church. Don't tell me you don't have a ministry. Don't come up here. Do you know what ministry means? It just means servant. Some of us don't want a ministry because we want more than that. I look at what Paul said, and he said, having therefore obtained help of God. Well, first off, we know that Paul realizes who his help is. Well, I get my help from my commentary. Good for you. I've got over 300 books too, and I wonder why I still do. Every time I pull one of those supposed very good doctrinal commentaries, they don't say anything about the part that I found that I'm struggling in. Or worse yet, they go, well, this word shouldn't be there. It should have been this word. No, it shouldn't have. I don't even want to tell you whose commentary I found that in, because most of us still have him on our shelf. The best thing to explain the Bible is the Bible. And the best way to find out what the Bible says is to get on our knees and say, God, I'm supposed to rightly divide the word of truth. Say, what's that got to do with stewardship? Well, if you're not rightly dividing the word of truth, you're not a good steward of the Bible. Paul is standing here, by the way. This is not somebody he's passing on the road. This is not somebody that is less than him. Oh, I'm a Roman citizen. What are you? Huh? He's talking to Agrippa. He's talking to the king.
That's right.
Yeah. And yet he just, I think myself happy, King Agrippa. Yeah. How? Hold it, Your Honor. He didn't mean that. Yes, he did. Sit down. Continue. Well, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I know that you're expert in all answers and questions and buttering him up. I don't know. But telling the truth about him. And he gets there and he says, having therefore obtained help of God, so he knows where his help comes from. We ought to know where our help comes from. I'm not going to tell you something you don't already know. You ever tried to preach to preachers? You can't tell them something they don't already know because they act like they already knew it even if they didn't. You know? Yeah, I knew that. You know? Do you know where your help comes from? If we know where our help comes from, then under Category 1, Section A would be, how come we don't go there very often? Oh, I know where my help comes from. Well, how much praying to your help do you do? Or do you wait? Man, I know I'm going to preach this conference. Oh, well, Lord, I better, give me something quick. What if we were walking with him and he already gave us something? What would the world think? What would our churches think if we weren't just called men of God because of the title? But if we were men of God because we actually walked with God?
Amen.
That's the stewardship that if you lose that, you'll lose all the other stewardship. And I don't care if we're talking about money. I don't care if we're talking about churches. I don't care if we're talking about people. If we can't walk with God and keep with God, then we aren't really men of God anymore. Stewardship. You know where your help comes from? You know what I got upset about some time ago? I walked through a Bible bookstore. I won't tell you where. I won't tell you who owns it. Because speak evil of no man still in the book. But I couldn't find a King James thing in the entire store. I thought, there's a nice Bible case. And I picked it up and it said, I'll look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from God. It's Psalm, you know. Psalm 121:1. Yeah. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? And it was a question mark. There's no question mark in Psalms 121. David wasn't saying, I don't know where my help's going to come from. Oh, what am I going to do? No, he said, my help cometh from God. He said, I know it. He said, I look unto the hills, from whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. If there was a question mark there, then it'd be stupid to answer your own question. It wasn't a question. You know, preachers, we got to get away from putting a question mark where God puts a period. You know the book. You don't go, well, I'm pretty sure. No, I know the book says. Well, I'm pretty sure if you read your Bible, it'll tell you the answer is no. The Bible says. Don't do the same thing your editor does on your word processing machine. That Microsoft Word, you say, oh, a man and a woman must be dressed modestly. Well, it says, excuse me, can we use the word adult? Why? So we can get rid of separation of gender. Adults must be dressed modestly. Well, I believe that too, but I believe in just a little bit more thick than that. Paul didn't go to Agrippa and say, well, first off, I appeal unto Caesar. Secondly, I'm a Roman, and these boys have been mistreating me. Thirdly, you can't find anything because there's nothing to be found. His attitude wasn't like that. Do you know what his attitude was? Having therefore obtained help of God. Agrippa, I just want to let you know there's a God up in heaven. And the only thing I'm accused of is preaching that he came and he died and that he was first to rise from the dead. And this stuff wasn't done in a corner, right? For the king knoweth in verse 26, of these things before whom also I speak freely, for I am persuaded. That's a good word. We need to get persuaded in some stuff. That none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest to me to be a Christian. And I don't know if he was being sarcastic or if he meant it, but it doesn't matter because he never did anything with it. Don't get hung up on that while I'm preaching, because I want you to understand that Paul said his help comes from God. Secondly, why his help came. Christian, preacher, brother, it's time that we realize why our help is available. It's not so we can run 300, so we can button that suit and check our fancy watches. Well, what do you run in your church? Whatever happened to, did you have anybody saved on Sunday? I don't care if you had 200 or 30. Did you have anybody saved? Did God do anything? Are we just ritualistic like a Pharisee and we had our church service? We had the three songs and a sermon and some announcements and we shook hands and lied to each other that we're all doing okay? I have a hard time sugarcoating sermons. So it is what it is, I guess. I do love you folks. But aren't you tired as I am of the ritualism that's creeped into our churches and the fake preaching and the fake preachers and the fake services and well, how many did you have? Well, we had 200 saved last year. Where are they at? Did they just get saved and you just turn them loose? Did you go after them? Did you bring them into the church? What's going on here? This is stewardship, isn't it? If you can let somebody be led to the Lord and then just leave them there, that's a bad steward. You don't believe in discipleship, that's terrible. You don't believe the book. If you aren't practicing discipleship, Brother Savage, I'm right because the Bible's right. Amen. Discipleship's in the book. Yeah, right. Jesus Christ was the best one that did it. Right. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Hey, Timothy, do this. For this reason I left you in Crete. For this reason, he's discipling all kinds of people. You can't get away from it in the entire New Testament. Amen. Paul said, I know who my help is, and I know why my help is there. Well, why was it there? Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. Why? Well, he's witnessing both the small and great, saying none other things than those things which the prophets and Moses did say should come. It is about time we realize that we should not base our stewardship of souls on what they're wearing. I do it. I don't know if you do it. Maybe it's just confession, Cooper confession today. I can go by somebody and they're so dressed up, they're like, man, there's no way he wants this little old track. Or better yet, hey, you know, I bet this guy here, I can talk to him. He doesn't scare me. Now, the guy sitting there with a backpack, smoking a cigarette with a bunch of tattoos all over him and one of them muscle t-shirts and, you know, he's not interested. He's not interested. I've nearly got myself shot for trying to witness to people, but listen to me. Stewardship isn't just money. We've been saying that all week. Stewardship is very much, Paul said it right here, I'm witnessing to small and great. I don't want to miss anybody. God put me before King Agrippa. Why? Not because I did anything wrong, but I'm supposed to be a witness, and a witness to small and great. And by the way, King Agrippa, I know you know all this stuff. I know you know the Old Testament. I know you know what Jesus did, because they didn't hide that in the corner. They actually had to pay people to hush. You know, we'll pay you if it comes to the governor's ears. We'll suffice him and secure you, because if we don't, you're dead. You know, great. And that report is commonly reported under this day, that the disciples came by night and stole him. Do you think Agrippa knew that? I believe he did. Paul said, I know who my help is, and I know why my help is here. Hey, preacher, we need to know why our help is here. We've got things backwards. We try to figure out everything, and then we go to God. My help is here, so I go to him first. I get a flat tire. Well, honey, where'd we put that credit card? Preacher, we got this problem. How much money we got in the bank? Whatever happened to an emergency prayer meeting? Well, Brother Cooper, you don't understand. Our roof costs $35,000, and that's only just to tear it off. Then we got to come up with another $90,000 so we can put it back on. I'm being funny, but Brother Brad, probably not too far off on what it costs to put a roof on. He says it's not funny. Wow. You know? And, Filter. Okay. I want to preach, but I want to preach in love, and I don't want to be mean.
There you go.
But what good is to know who our help is and only go to him when we need him?
That's right.
To only go to him when a problem comes up.
Yeah, right.
Wouldn't be much of a friendship between my brother and I if every time I needed something was the only time I talked to him.
Yeah.
You'd be on that phone. You everybody has that phone number that as soon as it calls, you either don't have time to answer it conveniently, or you go, what do they want? Hello? Hey, I got this problem. Yeah, I know you have a problem. You have a problem every time you call me. What is it this time? That's not how Jesus handles us, thankfully. But could you imagine calling up the help that you need after you tried everything else and God goes, I was wondering when you're going to get around to calling me. Was in someone's home the other day. They was having problems with a teenager. It almost seemed like that word teenager translate to problem sometimes, you know. Brother Cooper, you shouldn't say that you don't have any. I was one once. I know exactly what they are. Amen. I just told them, y'all get on the same page. Or in another 10 years, you're going to have another teenager and you have the same problem. And you know what? Whether we've got children or not, whether you're pastoring or not, we are all stewards of souls. We all know who our help is. We all know why our help is there. May I beg you and ask you, the best I know how, why do we wait until we're buried in problems to go down on our knees? Wouldn't it be much better to be on our knees before the storm hit? Another time in Paul's life, he said, be of good cheer, for I believe God.
Amen.
I believe God. You can know who your help is and why your help's there. But if you don't believe God, it doesn't do you any good. You can be a saved, born-again child of God. Know who and why he's there. But if you don't have You don't believe? Well, I would have talked to God about it. I just don't think he'd help me. How many of you found that untrue after you finally went to God? God, I'm sorry I didn't come to you first. God doesn't say, don't bother me with small stuff. God said, you are kings and priests. Come boldly before the throne. God, you're the one that told me to come. And I'm the one that needs the help. But I don't have anybody else to go to. I'm not looking for anywhere else. I'm looking for God to do something. We preach on that when we talk about faith, promise, giving. But we ought to preach on it and talk about Christian life. We're going to help lead the lost to the Lord. We better learn to do it when it's easy. And when we're under pressure. Do you think only Paul thought he would witness to people when he wasn't under pressure? Seemed like to me a lot of what Paul did caused a lot of pressure. You know? And he witnessed to small and great. And he said, he even told King Agrippa, I wish, look at this. Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. I wished all of you that are hearing me right now, talking to the king, would all become a Christian. Except for the bonds. I'm not talking about I wished you were all in prison here. I'm not talking about I wished you all were putting up with what I have to put up with. I'm talking that all of you would be, as King Agrippa just said, almost persuaded, but not almost, altogether. Altogether such as I am. And preacher, we better be altogether such as he is. We better be following him. We better witness to small and great. Do we not think that the parables in the New Testament of how they treated the vineyard? I know, well, Brother Cooper, you can't use that because he's talking about the Jew. It's in the book for your learning and my learning. He may have been picking on a Jew because they did mistreat. I will send my son, and they killed him. Well, that's a good picture of what they did to Jesus Christ. But at the same time, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest is still in the book. And I can't help but go to chapter 4 of the book of John, where he is witnessing to one woman who they had no dealings with, the Samaritans. Why'd he do that? Because he wanted to be a good steward. Why'd he do that? Well, because he had to take his disciples and try to teach them something that, by the way, Peter didn't get it until the book of Acts. Peter's standing on the top of his roof waiting for dinner or supper or whatever you want to call it. And God said, rise, Peter, slay and eat. Oh, not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered into my mouth. What God hath cleansed, thou, call not thou common. This was done thrice. Well, while that's going on, God's talking to a Gentile. Love it how he talks to Gentiles and he talks to the woman at the well. I love how he does this stuff. Amen. And while Peter is doing it, hey, do you know where Peter is? Yeah, he's on top of the roof. And he comes down and he goes with them and he tells them, God hath told me not to call any man common or unclean. He finally got it. You realize he sent the disciples in John chapter 4 over against the village and cities to buy food. Who owns those villages and cities? Who? The Samaritans did. He's teaching them to deal with people they don't like. Why? Do the same thing Paul's doing. Witness to small and great. They don't have to look like you for you to think their soul's important. They don't have to dress like me and talk like me and be like a Christian ought to be before you're interested in whether they're going to burn in hell or not. We're supposed to go into all the world and do what? We could go forever. Go is the action. And teach. Did he say pick and choose who you're going to teach? Well, those would have to be, get them born again, as Brother Larry Brown used to say. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying we can know who our help is. And we can know why he's there. And we can know what we're supposed to do. But if we're not doing it, we're still not good stewards. You could take a reader's driving manual, memorize it forwards, memorize it backwards. But if you never got in a car, what good would it do you? And then you could still get in the car and still not obey the manual. And most of the world can get where they're going and still not obey the manual. I tell you, I've been out there in the road. Y'all are scaring me. I was going 45 the other day. Some car went boom by me in a work zone. And the next guy that followed him honked the whole time he did it. I just went 45, you know. He didn't stop honking. And nobody pulled him over. It'd have been hard if he did, because then you're not supposed to be glad that somebody else's calamity, you know. I just want to pull up. Somebody get pulled over like that, you just want to pull up and say, "Hey, officer, everything okay? Hi, how are you? Can I give you a gospel track?" Amen, you know. Paul said, both small and great, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. That's what Luke 16:10 tells me. Hey, if we're going to do this, anything, my daddy used to say, anything worth doing is worth doing right. And you can do the right thing wrong. We can preach wrong, sing wrong, pastor wrong, live wrong. You could preach out of the right book, be preaching wrong. But preacher, I follow the book. Yeah, but we're talking about stewardship. You can know what the book says and not do it. Huh? Yeah. Yeah, we can. So, Paul had nothing to lose. God was by Paul. Paul knew that. There that time when the angels have speak and hold not thy peace. There's much people in the city, right? Nobody's going to sit on you and hurt you. Well, that's pleasant. I wonder if everybody was heavy or something. I don't know, just kidding. There's not anybody. Since if Paul thought his walk with God was so important and his call was so important that he was going to give his life to do so, then who am I to think that I'm not going to get persecuted? To think that I can actually walk with God, actually have His power, actually go to Him, actually follow the book, and Brother Savage not have any repercussion. I don't find that. I do find they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. To which I have to sadly say, if I'm not being much persecuted, I must not be very godly. And it's not just in what we don't watch, and I don't have a TV, and I don't... It's in being a faithful steward. Now, you could never watch TV all your life, but if you don't have devotions, what good is not watching television? You know? So what are you trying to say? Just this. Know that the Lord is your strength. Know that that's where your power is. I'm not powerful. I'm just a conduit. Anybody know what an expert is? It's a has-been because it's an X, and it's a spurt because it leaks under pressure. I fit that perfect. Paul didn't say, "King Agrippa, you have to listen to me because I was raised at the feet of Gamaliel, because I know the Torah, because I'm smart, because I am brilliant." Well, I couldn't tell you that because you all know better, but Paul had a degree. He didn't say, "Excuse me, you owe it to me to listen because where I went to Bible college. You owe it to me to listen because who my pastor is." No, please listen to me because I want to show you who God is. Well, preacher, boy, you can really preach. No, it's a wonderful book. I didn't write it. I just struggled trying to follow it. Man, what a message. Not mine. Not mine. If I got up here and preached something and I messed it up, I'll claim that one. It's his book. And I am entrusted. Do you know there's things in the Christian life that you won't do in heaven? You won't read this in heaven. You won't pray in heaven. There's things in our Christian life we better do now. We better do it now. Say, well, you know, I just work. I just do this. I'm just a servant. You know, Brother Brad, I get tickled when a pastor goes, can you pull that toilet? Yeah, I can. Can you put one back? Well, I'll think about it. No, I can put them back too. When Paul said he was all things to all men, he didn't smoke a smoke to witness to a smoker. Okay? He didn't drink a beer to witness to a drinker. But he was a servant of the Lord.
Amen.
Brother Savage, as you come, I challenge us preachers. Know who our power is. Know why it's there.
Amen.
And then witness to small and great.
Amen.